Another edition of the New Africa Business.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah.
Broadcasting out of Washington, D.C. Here's our imam.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, huwa alladhi khalaqal insana min teen wa ukhrijahu min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur. Fanahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi. Na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa sayyiati a'malina. May yahdihi Allah fala mudilla lahu wa may yudlil fala hadiya lahu. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين اما بعد again bismillahir rahmanir rahim always we begin with Allah's name the merciful benefactor the merciful redeemer he is el hayyun he is the living whose life is without need we pray that this new year will be better than the one that has just left us. And we know that this month, today, that begins today, on this day of Jum'ah, the first of this year in this society that we're in, begins for us on this day of Jum'ah, January. And we have to look at Jum'ah for us as always is a fresh start. We get a chance to get renewed, to forgiveness and sins forgiven and everything that comes here. The reports tell us if we come to the Jum'ah with the right perspective, then the sins from the last Jum'ah, Allah gives you a clean slate from that time if you come in. So you got this returning, this renewal, always happening in the life of the human being. And so here it returns again. January came around again. And in this society, January is connected to, we can say, well, it's the word in its origin is connected to a Roman religion, Roman mythology, by this one of their deities, one of their gods, Janus. Janus is one of their gods, Janus. And again, we can see that how that things come in. We have a lot of things in society that has pagan origin in this society here, and this is one of them that has as an origin. Of course, people don't associate that with this picture today. What they do associate with this day. This January is what is in the symbol of Janus. When you look at the symbol of that deity, Janus, he represents beginnings and endings, beginnings and transitions. This is what he represented, you know. He had two faces. And we know that a lot of people got two faces. We find them all the time. They call them two-faced, But Janus represents two faces. He's looking to the future and he's looking to the past. So he's looking back and he's looking forward. So that's in the symbols. And again, it's symbolizing change and transitions. And people on this day, they begin to think about that. They look back, it is natural. A year has gone by and they look back and they want to see what needs to be changed. What can I do better? What I want to do? Because it's a new opportunity. It's a new chance. It's a new start. It's a new year. 2020 has left us. We're in 2021 now. So people start thinking, this is a gift start. What can I do? What can I do better? What can I achieve now in this new year? And so they're symbolizing change and transitions and such as progression of the past. Looking at the past and then present and into the future. So you want to try to put all those in perspective. And it represents changing of one's vision to another. You better look at the vision that you had in the past, because if it didn't achieve what you wanted, you got to look at another vision. You review your vision, change of one's condition to another condition. Whether it be academic, whether it be fitness, all those different things, the condition. You want to look at that, you want to change that condition. And we know that change, the way Allah put it, he's not affected by time. Time, everything changes over time. It's just inevitable. So it's constant. It's always happened. But Allah lets us know that though he tells us that he controls time and over time things will change and be patient with time, he lets us know that if he put us in time, that what we do in time is affected by choice. Choice. Decisions that we make. Allah says, "Wa kullu insan azzamnahu ta'irahu fi unukihi." Fi unukihi. Everybody, all people, Allah says that their fate, your destiny is connected to your neck. It's around your neck. Everybody has their destiny is around their neck. So that's what he's telling us. And he uses the word zamnahu ta'irahu. Ta'ir is also a bird. You see, when you take the four birds, you're going to find this word there. Take four birds, parts of a bird. In fact, it's associated with airplanes. Ta'ira really is an airplane. Mutar is an airport. Is an airport. So Allah is basically saying this: your fate is suspended really around your neck. Your fate is up right around your neck. So he's really telling us that, you know, it's really saying that it's choice, this condition that you have. He giving you limited free will. So you have some choice. He knows he's Allah. He's not making a choice for you. He gives you limited free will. But because he's Allah, he don't have to wait. He didn't have to wait. He didn't have to wait till you were born to know how it was going. For he knew way before. He knew from the very beginning. Huh? When he said be, and it is all everything he knew. He didn't have to wait. We had to wait 4.6 billion years in turn. That's how old just Earth is. Yeah, Allah didn't have to wait for none of that. Before all of that happened, he always knows. He knows, you know. So he says that إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. That Allah, he doesn't change your condition. The condition. And it's put that there's condition. It said mad become. It's like it's a condition that's bothering you. You don't like it. You're not comfortable. You don't like it. It's not going the way you want it to go. And he said, Allah said, well, he's not going to change that. Unless you change. You change what's inside of you. You change what's going on inside of you. Then he's saying you get his help. In another place, he says, "Dalika bi anna Allah lam yaku mughayran ni'mata an amaha ala kaum hatta yughayyiru." And here it is again, "may be anfusihim wa anna Allah sami'u alim." He said that is because Allah, he won't change. Now he's saying, now he didn't use the same word. He said he won't change the ni'mah and amaha. And we say that every day.
Okay,
and Amta Alay, right? We say that in our Fatiha. We ask Allah for his favor, for his blessing, for his grace. You know, give us the grace that he gave to those who came before. Show us the path that he bestowed, of those that he bestowed his grace upon. And this word, this means that this doesn't come into play in the Quran until it has been cut off. It means that you did something to cut it off. And then Allah responded because you did something to turn it back on. And Allah said, if the things are going well, you've been blessed, you want to keep things that way, he's not going to change that either. You're going to continue to be blessed. You're going to continue to prosper. He's not going to plan it unless you do it. He said, you do something to affect that. He said, he's not going to do anything to affect that. You came into the favor. You will remain in the favor as long as you stay on the path of those who are favored. And Allah said, he's not going to change. You're going to continue. You don't have to worry about what's ahead of you because Allah going to open the door for you already because you're on that path. You're on Sirat al-Mustaqim. That's the path. If you're on that path, you don't have to worry about it. So he won't change that. So all that he's saying, it's up to you. It's on you. It's what's going on inside of you. And we want to always change. If change is constant, that means we should always be seeking to change for the better. They always say the biggest room in the house is the room for improvement. We all can do more. We always can do more. That's
yeah,
the capacity. If Allah said that Wasiya Kuli Shayin, he's given to us the earth and the heaven. He is subjected to Sakara Lakum math, he's something where to a math at all. If he's subjected to us, he gets us all of that, that tells us right there. That's a lot of space, that's a lot of room.
There's
always be room for us to do some more things. And that's the capacity that we have. That's the capacity that we have. So Allah lets us know that it's based on us, it's based on choice. And he says that he will help us because he knows to sustain any course, you're going to need his help. And which ones, what help does he need? Which ones does he help? He says, yeah, ayyuhalladhina amanu, astainu. Seek Allah's help. Faith. He addresses your faith first. He addresses your faith. Oh, you who believe. Oh, you who have faith. Astainu. Seek. Partition. Astainu. Wasalati. Patience. Constancy. And prayer. And then what Allah says, Inna Allaha ma'al sabirin. See, he verily, surely, without a doubt, Allah is with those who are constant. That's what Allah says. And of course, sabr is rich. Patience, perseverance, constancy, consistency. And it means not wavering. You're not wavering, not changing our faith. Holding on to the faith, holding on to our commitment, holding on to our disposition in the religion. This is sabr. And hold on, but also remaining constant, steadfast, and persevering, even when it's difficult. This is sabr. And then Allah is saying, He is with those those ones who have this. He is with those ones. And we know it's been difficult as a people here in America, descendants of enslaved Africans. We're looking at the past. It's been difficult. They did a series said this far. By faith. Faith. They overcame all those difficulties by faith. That's what the whole series was just about that. The faith of us as a people. From where we were to how we got to where we are. In the 20th century is when that was dealt with. So what enables us to stay the course? What enables us to keep that stand, Qiyam? What enables us to keep that stand? To keep that stand, the Qiyam. And we know we make that upon faith. We are here. Those who are here, those who are listening, wherever you are, you are there upon faith. And you've had great challenges. Whatever you're dealing with, what enabled you to keep that stand? Above all, it is obedience to Allah. It is obedience to Allah. Those who have responded, who are listening to this, who are reviewing this, who are in the facilities, the few that are here, they're here because they are obeying.
You on the station.
Obeying Allah. This is about obedience.
Yeah, okay.
Not to come and stand before Allah. We're always before Allah. Wherever you are, you are never absent. Allah is never absent where you are. Don't never say, I'm standing before Allah even when I pray. No, you're always before Allah. No, you're standing in obedience. You're obeying. You're being obedient. It's about obedience. Obedience to Allah. But we have to understand, brothers and sisters, those who are listening, whether we remain in the state of sabr, whether we remain constant or not, what we must understand is it does not depend on how much we know. It does not depend on how much power we have. It does not depend on how much money we have. It goes back to, and it depends on, how obedient we are to Allah. That's the key. That's the key for us. Our prophet, the present peace upon him, and he said, and certainly we, when I say we now, speaking about this community, and how we began. We can see ourselves in this, because he said the religion began with the poor. And he said, and it shall return to the poor. This is a statement that he made. Now, we know, we know in history, his situation, and the kind of people that were drawn to him. And now, we don't have to go that far. We can look at it here in America. In our situation. Islam, how it began in America. Who it began with, and here in America, when it came to America. We can just look at that and look at that statement. So he said, this religion began with the poor, and it shall return to the poor.
Yes, okay.
So that tells us that we don't expect this religion to be preserved or secured by those who have money. So look at those who have money and what they're doing and what they're saying. What the prophet is saying, we don't expect them to preserve or secure this religion as a faith in the world. Not even those who have great knowledge. You got these high institutions that think they're preserving and securing the religion around the world. No, but look at his statement again. It is going to be preserved and secured by those who have great faith in Allah. That's what Allah is telling us. And of course, the reward for your great faith, your genuine faith, and your sabr, it includes real growth in the knowledge. Isn't that what we've seen in the history? When it came to the poor and how Allah began to advance them, the growth and the knowledge he gave them, and they had those around them that had knowledge, but they even surpassed them. Don't you see the same thing happening here in America? Look at it. Where we were to where we are. And it's brighter than what we see even today. But how do we know when one has great faith in Allah? And this is what we want to work on. This is part of this change of condition. It is when their personality and their conduct reflect it. That's when we know. That's when we know. If it is in their personality and their conduct. Allah says in the Quran about the believers in the hereafter. Several places in the Quran, he says that they will be seen with brightness, their light going forth from their faces. He says that several places in the Quran. And that meaning their character. Their character is going to be in agreement with what they say they have faith in. With what they say they believe in. Their character is going to agree. We look to their faces. And this is how we see the character. That's where it shows up at. That's what we know. We tell ourselves when we watch, we want Allah to bless us to have that agreement. When we that's part of our ablution. When we're washing the face, and after we do a dua, we go to that because we want that to be. We want what we just asked for. We want our character person to be in agreement with that too. Make your supplication to Allah, and then you bring your hands. So your hands represent actions to your face, so that they would agree. So they would agree. No, but we don't look to the hands for character, do we? No, we don't look to the hands for character. We look to the face, as the law says. So we want people who have the character of the religion as well as faith. And our prophet, first Peter upon him, said he came to teach us good character. And the beautiful thing is that his character was so beautiful even before the revelation came to him. It was already upon the essence of the life that Allah gives to every single human being when they come here. Beautiful, loving, innocent, honest. That's how we come here. And he stayed that way. He stayed that way. And he's a model for us to show us that we can get back that way once we go off and our condition changes, how we can bring that condition back. He's an example. He's the model. He's the uswatun hasana. He is the model for us. But if it's true faith, if it's strong faith, if it's true faith, it's going to manifest in a change in heart. Bima and fusihim. Allah said he won't change it until you change bima and fusihim inside. in the soul. This is the heart. So it's going to manifest in a change in the heart. A change in the heart means a change in character. That's what it means. That's why Allah said that. That's what it is. Then he gives you the help. But that's where it starts at. When one changes his heart from that of jealousy, envy, negativity, hatefulness, insensitive, lying, deceitful, cheating themselves, cheating the Lord, cheating their fellow human being, and they go from that to that of being honest, Elamin, a sadiq, right? To go to that, then it's going to show on your face. It showed in his face. So outstanding that he got that reputation, didn't he? Yeah, and we get a reputation too. If people will see that, they'll know that's our character, and those will be descriptions of us, the type of people that we are. Because it will show. It will show in our character, in our face. Rabbi zidni ilm. Rabbi zidni ilm. Rabbi zidni ilm. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa salatu wa salam ala rasulihi kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Looking back to go forward. Looking back to go forward. So that's our topic. That's our topic for today. And we know that Allah in the Quran, he says often, go back. Send your vision back. He says, remember. Re means to go back. Remember when? Say, remember such and such. And he relates it a lot of times, you can see, and he wants to think about even in our own life. He said, these people did this and they did this. Look what I did for them. And look what these people did, and they end up being destroyed. So you got to go back and look. Go back and look. Because we know we are told that if we don't look at it, we're doomed to repeat it, right? If we don't revisit it, we're doomed to repeat it. So in the Quran, it's Quran, it means to look at it and look at it again. And all through the Quran, it has this repetition. And Allah gives us this journey through history. So we go back. He takes us back. He even tells our dear beloved Prophet Muhammad, again, the press piece upon him, say, you weren't there then, but look. He say, and he tells us, say, this is what they did, and look what they got. Say, now you gonna get the reward for what you do. Allah reminds us, he's speaking to us, he's talking to us, he's trying to get us to understand. We have to look back to go forward. We were told by one of our heroes of the past, said something along the lines that a people without knowledge of their histories are like a tree without roots. I think it was Marcus Garvey that made a comment like that. And then we know a tree without roots. We know what's going to happen with that tree without roots. So that speaks to the knowledge. You look, they were speaking to the individual who invented the car. When he invented the car and put the mirrors on it, he said he had the human being in mind. He said he had the human being in mind when he made the car. You know, and that's why he had the mirrors. And can you imagine? You imagine a car that doesn't have any mirrors, and you're trying to drive that car and doesn't have any mirrors. No side views, left and right to be the turn, to look back. Can you imagine driving that car? A car like that? Well, we know there are some people that are just like that. They're like that. They move like they don't have any side mirrors and that they're missing, and they just refuse to look back. Huh? They refuse to look back. And then we know that's going to eventually cause some problems. Because you want to change. Is this for the change lane? You don't look to see what's coming. See where you were? So this is important for us. And Allah, he tells us, he calls us, he gives us an example by calling us Khalifa. Inni ja'ilu fil ard Khalifa. Verily, surely, I'm going to make in the earth a Khalifa. And the Khalifa is from the word meaning past. He takes us back. Khalifa. So, and we know, this is, we got to go back down and look at Adam's life, right? Because he's the first one. He's not the only one, but he's the first one. So we got to go back and look at his life. You know, him being our first father. And Allah calling him Khalifa. Because, you know, he, when he said that, I'm going to create in the earth a Khalifa, then he mentions Adam's name. Adam's name comes up later. But he said Khalifa Tan to let us know that he's not the only one. It's going to be many. This is it's a common property. It's a common property in every single human being, you see. And we know that this word, this concept means from the past. From the past, behind. You have to look behind. Even in the Quran, you see that word, house means behind. House for whom? Behind them. What came before them? Aid to him was mean what's coming between the two hands, you know. So he gives us that word, the real behind, not in the front. Not just focus on the future. Focus on where he came from. So he's not able to connect with what came before him. Adam is able to connect with what came out of him. How you gonna know what you came from, what you came out of? And we know in the time of the prophet, the press peace upon him, they didn't have terms that the science have today. Back then, when the Khalifa came on the scene, they didn't have terms like inherent and native. You know, my native life. You know, science began to discover these things. You know, in what you inherit, your heredity. And heredity means getting it from the past, right? That's what it means, getting it from the past. And we have a lot of things we got from the past. You know, this is they say this now. People have got things that's in them right now that came out of the past. And the science, this is a hereditary trait. Maybe some disease of high blood pressure, something maybe they'll tell you. It's from the past, you know, that's where it came from. They use that kind of reference to many things that we're finding people, and they got couples now getting that based on what they have to make sure the other take a test to see what's in there to make sure that there's no conflict with the children based on what's in their past. That's in them now, that's hereditary, that's coming from the past. So Allah telling us that it's important for us to take in consideration what was in the past, what came from the past. So we have just left 2020. And we know 2020, if I just say 2020 in mathematics, you automatically say 20 times 20. And you get 400 in mathematics. And so in 2020, and Allah designed it to where in 2020 would when 2020 came in, and 400 would just be ending for us, 400, and everybody was talking about 400, so we had that. So Allah in 2020 want us to put some vision on, shed some light on that 400, the 400 that came, and then as we look at 2020. And again, we've been saying it throughout 2020, so you all want to hear me say it much more past this because we're in 2021 now. But we know it automatically makes you think about vision when you hear 2020. You go get your eyes checked and everything, you want that 2020. You want that. You want clear vision. Some say perfect. It doesn't necessarily not say perfect. Some got 2025. I've known some to have that, and some have had this corrected to even be a little more than 2020. So, but it's clear. We do know that that's a standard. You should be able to see. You should be able to see clear. And so Allah is telling us something. Now, and you got to understand that also Surah 20 in the Quran, it takes us back to Adam. The whole Adam story is there. But not only is the Adam story there, the whole Moses story is in Surah 20. Allah takes us his whole life. The whole story, before he became the prophet, when he was a baby put into the basket, what he went through, what people gone through, all that's in there. When he went through, when he came free, when he went back to the mountain, came down, they dealing with the calf, all that's there. Now you look at his life and this 400. Now here's what the scripture says. This is a scripture. The previous scripture says this. Now this is. I'm going to give you what it says in two places. I think it's the third place, too. But it says this. God said to Abram, because he wasn't Abraham yet. So he's Abram. Abraham means father of many, right? that came later. And Allah said he's going to make him an imam. Imam is the correct term because again, the Quran makes things clear. But in the previous scripts, they put father. When you know it means leader. You know it means leader. An imam. So he's an imam. Adam is a khalifa, but Abraham, now he's an imam. He's not called khalifa. He's called an imam. But anyway, he would say, know for certain, this is in the scripture, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, where they will be enslaved, mistreated, and oppressed 400 years. So that's, you'll find it in Genesis. You'll find it in Acts. I think it's one of the places that you'll find that in as well. Now, and we know it says about the sea, and we know the Jews, they got a picture of them associated with Moses. 400 years is supposed to associate with Moses and them oppression in their story. Same thing with Moses. And then now we look at how Allah is not as clear as it has been made for us here in America, because they take us back to 1619. It's made very clear. The actual dates are there. 1619. So they put it there. And then they brought it up to 2019. So 400 years. And now they got the 1619 project. They got a serious educational piece going on right now. So Allah has taken us back to this 400 for us to put that in perspective where we are now as a people. And we know 1619, they say that's when, again, the first Africans were brought to England, the English colony in Jamestown. This is what they say. But when we go back and look at that, we do what Allah say. We go back. The bad experiences that we had as a people, bad experiences of slavery, it began in the South on the plantation. That's how it began for us, you know. So it's the beginning, really, of us as a people in this part of the world, because that hadn't happened like that. The way it happened here in America hadn't happened nowhere else in the world. So that was the beginning for us as a people. And it was actually what has been created for us. We have to look at what has been created. What has been created? When we go back and look at our history, and we have to think about that, is some of us actually represent, and when we look at how Allah unfolds, we're going to try to take time to just hit through things in the past, but when you look at how Allah unfolds over the span of that history, we look at how Allah has really taken some of us through that particular path and had us produce something. The brain, we start seeing the brain turned on. The thinking was turned on. They weren't comfortable. They weren't satisfied to not say anything, to not learn anything, to not read anything, to just be a dumb slave, so to speak. So Allah caused that to emerge from that circumstances where some of us began to have the light to turn on. We had a new human creation beginning. We begin to see something that the world hadn't seen in a while. A new social creature. A new social creation began to happen. We begin to create things socially that the world hadn't seen. That right now, the whole world right now is involved in right now in terms of the culture that came out of that is in the world now. Things that happen coming from these people. And we know that Allah is devouring us, trying to get us to be free thinkers. We look what Du Bois said. To the extent that we will go to teach our children to think. Now, our parents should be listening to this. Will be the measure of our freedom. That will be the measure of our freedom. So what is that saying? What is that saying? Just that statement alone, you know, you hear, but what is that saying? That we will expand the measure of our freedom. The measure of our freedom, the freedom that we can actually have in this country, the more we think independently. I'm like Muhammad said, if a man don't treat you right, what makes you think he's going to teach you right? So we're running around want to follow somebody else's thinking. Dependent thinking, not independent thinking. Here Allah created us to be an independent people with an independent mind to think independently. And so Du Bois is saying that's the measure of our freedom that we can have. We free our thinking. And that's the very thing that they denied us. is to be able to think. We weren't supposed to be able to think. They were always denounced that and say we were not intelligent. We can't do this. We couldn't do that because we didn't have intelligence. But Allah is showing that he's in the equation. And when we look at, when we go back and look at the 400, he wants to look at the 400. We, our life started here. And where we are today, to show what he is advancing. He's advancing something. Allah's advancing something. The religion began with the poor, and it shall return with the poor. Our Muslim brothers and sisters here in America who have wealthy circumstances, have had opportunities that we were denied, and of course those abroad should pay attention to Allah's works. They should pay attention to Allah's works. I'm going to share a few of the things. So we know 1619, they say, this is what they say. We know they had been here before, but we'll go at this time because this is the time they got a documentation. First African-American indentured servants arrived in the colonies. In 1739, they showed that there was a rebellion. Slaves said, no, I'm somebody. And they begin to rebel. So they have a recording in 1739 called the Stono Rebellion, one of the earliest slave revolts. And that was in South Carolina. In 1808, now Congress bans further importation of slaves. So if you know if they ban more slaves coming in, you can imagine what began to happen with this breeding now. There's this breeding thing going on, serious breeding. And it kind of, you can imagine the kind of stuff they put our families under, mothers and sisters and fathers and sons with the, it's all recorded, you know, how they, what they did to us as a people. In 1831, approximately 75,000 slaves escaped to the north using the Underground Railroad. 1846, this is just something. I know it's a whole, it's a whole lot of stuff. Just wanted just to look at some of these things. We're coming out of the situation. Ex-slave Frederick Douglass, he publishes the anti-slavery North Star newspaper. That's the first, and we know Muslim Journal is one of those that had evolved out of that too. And it connects with that for us as a people. 1849, Harriet Tubman, which we spoke about her in the past. Well, her name before Harriet was Araminta, which basically also means to resist. You know, and of course they were surprised when she did resist, because Harriet was her free name. Araminta was her slave, and that's what, as I referred to. So you can't use your slave name now. You're free. What is your free name? And she said Harriet, and Harriet means free. They had what called overseas a protest in Tahrir Square. Tahrir, liberation, freedom. That's what Tahrir means. You hear Harry in there, Harry in there, Harry. That's what it means, free, liberation. So Harriet Tubman, full of the mind. There's a mind in there, right? And that's what she did, right? Yeah, that's what she did. So she's associated during the course of this 400 years. She is also called Moses. So Allah takes us back. Now here in 2020, they do the movie in 2020 about her in 2020. And here the surah deals with Moses in Surah 20. But the story of one called Moses in our history to get us free, like Moses freed his people, there's a connection there for us. So there's Harriet Tubman. 1850, Congress passes another Fugitive Slave Act. Now, this is one of the reasons why we have an issue with police officers and law enforcement, those kind of things. Because this is how it all started. This is how it started, you know? With trying to find these slaves, which mandates government participation in the capture of escaped slaves. 1857, the Dred Scott versus Sanford case. Congress does not have the right to ban slavery in the states. Slaves are not citizens. This is 1857. So this is now, of course, 1860. Abraham Lincoln comes on the scene. He's president. And because we know he angers the South states, Civil War begins in 1861. Now you got a Civil War going on. We still in slavery. And we know 63, just the Emancipation Proclamation. Just the Emancipation, just a proclamation. So we know that wasn't going to last too long because it's just an Emancipation Proclamation. In fact, he did it in D.C. first. We know D.C. was in 1862, April 1862, which they celebrate every year. This way, the 3,000-something slaves were set free here in D.C. And, of course, 1863, that same year that he signed the Emancipation Act, then now left out of Boston, and it has a lot to do with us here in D.C., was the Massachusetts 54th Regiment of African-American Troops led by Colonel Robert Shaw, which is in the Shaw community here. And we got a monument to the African-American Civil War. We got a museum right here. So that took place there. 1865, the Civil War ends, Lincoln, he's assassinated. The whole piece of the 13th Amendment of Congress prohibiting slavery is ratified at that time. The era of Reconstruction happening. The Black Codes, CODES, they are passed by all white legislators of the former Confederate states. Congress passes the Civil Rights Act conferring citizenship on African Americans and granting them equal rights to whites. Now, so what was the drawback to that? KKK is formed that same year to work against those rights. That's why they're formed, to work against those rights. And then, of course, we know the 2 years after that, the 14th Amendment is ratified, defining citizenship. And that overturns that Dred Scott decision that we mentioned earlier. So here we've seen how our life is unfolding during the course of this 40 years. And then we know that 1870, the 15th Amendment is ratified, giving African Americans the right to vote. But we didn't have any protections. Because we know what happened since that time on up till we got to the later. We didn't have the same rights as whites. They can go vote. We had to go in there and they had to play games with us. If you didn't get killed before you got there, play games. Guess how many marbles in the jar and all this kind of stuff they would do. And no, you didn't get it. You can't vote. All kinds of different things. It's more horrible stuff than what I'm saying that we know that's already recorded. 1877, the area reconstruction ends. A deal is made with the Southern Democratic leaders that takes place. In exchange for the withdrawal of federal troops from the South and puts an end to the efforts to protect the civil rights of African Americans. And then we know what happens after that. Eventually, it just goes on and unfolds. The Jim Crow sets in. We got this serious Jim Crow period that's taking place. We know that thousands of African Americans begin to migrate out of the South in the late 1870s to escape that oppression that begins to start kicking in. We're trying to again progress our life. The first monument, they wanted to put a monument up down the South to pay tribute to the African American regiment out of Boston. That one in 1863, because of what they did, but they had so much pressure and from the whites, they couldn't put a monument up, so they had to put it up in Boston. So they ended up putting a monument up. This is the first one in history to recognize the effort, and they were all volunteer. They didn't force them. It was all volunteer, and they knew that if they got caught down South, that they were going to end up back in slavery. So this was in them, this thirst, this knowledge to be free, to be seen, to be equal. This was taking place. Board, you know, come on up even more to the history. Brown versus Board of Education strikes down segregation as unconstitutional, and before that, we got the Nation of Islam comes in. And they're looking at things, and they say that this is our America. This is what Elijah Muhammad says. He said, this is our America. He says that integration is out for us because integration in an unjust society, he said, is not the answer. And we got people that say the same thing today. We've never been able to get justice. They've been talking about integrate, but when we integrate, it's not equal. It's not fair. It's not just. And that's all he was saying. You want to integrate me, but you don't want to treat me equal to you. And he was right. Because we see it unfold. In fact, what pushed him was he saw his best friend. He said enough lynchings to last some 60,000 years, I think he said. Some figure like that. Lynchings that he saw. Horrible. It had to have been horrible. because it comes on up. We got more movement going on. The Civil Rights Acts are passed. You know, Dr. Martin Luther King comes on the scene as well. And then we're coming up 2008. Now, something happened that was thought to be impossible. 2008, we have an African president. And then we in 2020, that now America is seeing. So in 2020, this year, the law wants to, he wants to bring everything out now. He will open everything. He opened everything up now. Take it. He took us all the way back to 1619 in 2020. And then in 2020, he opened a whole lot of stuff up that this country and the world has never seen before, happening all in 2020. In fact, it came in with the most scrupulous president that we have ever seen in history being impeached. That started in January. Impeachment started in January. It started, 2020 started like that. And of course, we know the first case of coronavirus was recorded on January 9th. And then we know how it goes on. All these things start happening. All these criminals start going to jail, connected with the President of the United States. Pedophiles and everything connected to him. All in 2020, this movement starts. Something happens that has been happening all along in America over the course of that 400 years. But all of a sudden in 2020, when one is killed, knee on the neck, Allah shuts things down. You just can't keep doing business as usual anymore. This is 2020 now. Allah said, you got to open your eyes up. I'm going to show it to you clear. You've been making excuses. You've been making excuses for it. And you want to always look for something. No, what would he know? He was a criminal. He had this. He did drugs. No, look at this. What's happening? And he made it. So he put him in a state of innocence. He called for his mama when he was down to show you he represented the innocent nature of the human being. We were innocent. He took us back to we were innocent when they brought us here. How they treated us. And now the world responds. We've never had an outpouring of protest like we've had. All 50 states, every state in America had registered a protest to that. And they had 18 identifiable countries outside of America. Never happened before in the history. You know, we lost John Lewis, Kobe Bryant, just different things happened in 2020. You know, putting a lot of things on it. Chadwick, Black Panther, Ruth Bader, this all happened in 2020, you know. And then we get something else that was thought to be an impossible. African-American Vice President Kamala, a name that's in the Quran. And not only is it in the Quran, that name Kamala is associated when Allah says that Akmaltu, I have completed my favor upon you. In 2020. That happened in 2020. Her name is connected with the same word Allah used in what they call the last revelation revealed to Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him. When Allah sees completed, this day had they despair. I have completed my favor, perfected the religion for you, and chose for you Al-Islam al-Din. Harriet, you see that? Harry, you hear that? You see it again? HRR, representing with freedom. Just a symbol of Allah putting that for us in her. What she represents, what we should be able to see. And Allah is trying to tell us where we need to go and what we need to do. So this is the first day of 2021. Look, coming out of 2020. We should have our eyes wide open. We should be able to see clear what we need to do. We need to see clear what Allah is doing for us. Imam Muhammad Rahimahullah Alayhi said some time ago, we cannot stop now. We cannot stop now. We have just left a year where the world has seen more votes take place, even for an unpopular president, the most openly bigoted liar, more lies registered, recorded in history. More votes for him than that voted for a president in any election in America's history, more voted for him than voted for any president that made it in the history of America. And thank Allah that more than that voted for the one that didn't make it. Joe Biden. Bid-din. Bid-din means with din, with religion. And he comes up with a battle for the soul. A battle for the soul. And this is how this started out. Allah won't change the condition until you change what's happening in the soul. There are no people in this country that had that word soul associated with them than us. We were called soul brother and soul sister. It was a battle for the soul. What is Allah telling you? And that, and associated, when we look back at that 400 years, what he has invested in us. Allah will not change the condition of a people until they change what is happening in the soul. We thank Allah for God in our hearts. We thank Allah for God in our intentions. We thank Allah for God in our lives here in the United States to this path, this way, al-Islam. We ask Allah to keep us on the path and to give us his protection. May he keep our interest for the whole of the religion and that we live it fully in society so that our life will be a testimony, a witness for all other societies of what Allah wants for mankind. May Allah give us light and open our eyes for the light and forgive us our ignorance and our sins against our own life so that we will have his mercy and a new chance for life and progress. Amen. Come with us, Allah.
Mm-hmm.